Good singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful that He is present. I'm sure there's times all of us have had to go back. You ever been out in the fishing and, you know, I've fished in the river a lot. And you throw the anchor out, reach out there and pull on it, and you make sure it's secure. You ever been in rough water?
Yeah.
And you need that anchor to hold. You go back to it and you grab a hold of it and you pull on it just to make sure that it's still there. I think all of us, maybe this week, have had to call out to the Lord and say, God, I need you. God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to remind me that you're there. Remind me that you're present. Remind me that you haven't forgot about me. Because He doesn't. Because the anchor holds. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be reading out of the 4th chapter of John. I'm going to read a few verses. Going to read about 12 verses here. We got a lot more we may touch on. But we're just going to read these. And I want to talk a little bit about where Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. And God willing, for a little bit, we'll talk about what she found at the well. You know, there are times that we need to go to the well and we go and talk to the Lord. Sometimes we go and we find things different than what we expected. And I believe that's the way that it was on this particular day for this Samaritan woman. We're going to begin reading in the 3rd verse. And it starts off, He left Judea. This is speaking of Jesus. It says, and Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And Scripture here says, and He must needs go through Samaria. That means of necessity, He needed to go through Samaria. And I want to stop here on this verse for just a minute. You know, God had a plan. And you say, well, why did He need to go there? I mean, well, did He need to go do this or that? Maybe He needed to went there, I believe, for this woman. Because I believe that God, being God and knowing all things, He is omnipotent, He's omnipresent, He's omniscient. He understands exactly what our needs are. And there was a need for Him to go to Samaria. And I believe it was to see and meet this woman. It says, then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And I want to stop here for just a second, and you look at something. It said Jesus was weary from His journey. Now here's what I want you to understand. He was God in the flesh.
Yes.
Well, the Bible says in one place, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was fully God, but He was also fully man.
Amen.
You know, there's a song we sing sometimes at Christmas time. This is such a strange way to save the world. You with a finite mind will not ever understand everything there is to know about God. But I'll tell you one thing, there is a God.
Amen.
You're not Him. And God had a plan. He sent His only begotten Son to come into the world. And He took upon Himself, the Bible says in one place, the likeness of man. And He got tired. And He got weary. And He had to rest. And He had to have His feet washed. And He had to have water. And here's God, Jesus, in the flesh. He's sitting down upon the well, weary from His journey. And the Scripture says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith to her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat, and Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, the day and time that you and I live in is not the first time there's ever been division. Not the first time there's ever been war. That's not the first time that there's ever been discrimination or one people rejecting another people or a group of people hating another people. And here Jesus is, and he knows everything there is to know about this woman, and we're going to see that in the scripture in just a minute. But she looks at him, and she surprised me. Here's what I want you to get from this. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he came to save all sinners. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he came, one blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, came to save a man. And I want to tell you something, folks. It's common blood flowing in all people, regardless of who they are. And he looks at her as one of his children. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is now, he's weary, but he's telling her right here, I'm him. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have had asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, she doesn't understand, and I believe there's a lot of people in the world today, you're trying to tell them and trying to get them to understand, and sometimes it's so simple, but you can't get the message across of how simple it is to be saved. That there is a God and we're not him, and he sent his son to die, and all we have to do is cry out to him. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to do enough. Amen. She doesn't understand. She says, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, folks, all through the Word of God, it talks about eternal life. All through it. You know, we have more waiting on us that we cannot see than we have that we can see. Our life here, if you study it and understand it, it's just a vapor. That's what the Bible calls it. But eternity, eternal, everlasting life, here it is again, John 4th chapter, is waiting on us. And Jesus wants every person to be able to have it. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, if you understood it, you'd say this too, Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, I want to just kind of go through this scripture for just a minute, and I want us to look at the historical application. It says a woman, and this story actually happened, just like the Word of God said that it happened, that there's Jesus is sitting upon the well. He said he must needs go through it. Well, he went through to meet this woman, and he's there, and this story happened just like it said. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 and 2, it says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come buy and eat. And ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself. Fatness. You know, historically, it actually happened just like the Bible says, but doctrinally, here's something I want you to understand about this story. The church is also a type of the well. That's where people come to get a drink of water. That's why I believe the Bible says that forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together As the matter of some is, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. You know, I like to go to church, and sometimes, and I talk about this a lot because this is on my mind. Folks, I can't drive through the country and not notice every church. I look at the church signs. I look and see if the grass is cut. Sometimes I see them, and they're just out in a meadow, and they have no parking lot, and you can tell that no cars have been coming. And I don't understand why that every church in America is not busting at the seams. Because if people understood just the content of this story, they'd be coming to the well asking God, number one, for eternal water, eternal life. But they'd also be asking God to guide them. You know, in the morning, I got to get up and I got to drive to work. I'm going to drive in traffic. And I'll get down there and I'll have these people that'll be sending me messages and Teams calls, and they'll be bringing me problems to solve. And, you know, I'm going to be sitting there like this. I'm going to be thinking, oh, I got it figured out. No problem. I don't need any help today. Everything's fine. It's not like that at all. I'm going to be looking at those little sticky notes on the wall where it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Yes. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And I'm going to be reading that serenity prayer, Brother Tom, that says, Lord, if you just help me to be able today to fulfill your will for my life, because I can't do it by myself. Amen. That's why I need to come to the well. Practical. What she found at the well, what about what we find? Now, I want to talk a little bit about what she found at the well. And here's something that I want you to understand as we look at this scripture. And this is something that we need in our life. The first thing that I believe she found was she found some honesty at the well. Amen. You know, when Jesus began to talk to her and he began to speak to her, he spoke to her about her life. Sometimes I hear people, I think sometimes people misrepresent Christ. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said this: pro-choice Christians giving Jesus Christ a bad name since 1973 or something like that. You ever heard anybody stand up and say, well, you know, I just believe that this is the way God is leading me, and something rolls off their tongue that is in direct contradiction to the Word of God? It's not God leading you. Because when you come to the well and God begins to speak to you, what he does is he begins to pour out truth upon you that helps you understand exactly where you're at in your life, because you may not be where you think you are. You know, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's God incarnate in the flesh from the beginning. And I want you to think about this as you're here and we look at this story. Sometimes do we pass over the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the greatest speaker, the greatest preacher the world has ever known. And he's in the presence of this woman incarnate with the greatest mind that's ever existed that we could comprehend. And he knows everything about her. And it begins to pour out words upon her. Think about Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 36, the scripture says this: they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. You go down to John chapter 7 and verse 46, at the latter part of the verse, it says this about Jesus: never a man spake like this man. You see, how is there not honesty? And here's what I want you to understand. When you stand in the very presence of Christ, nothing is hidden. Nothing about my life, nothing about my thoughts is hidden from Almighty God. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. What does the Bible say about the Word? And I looked at this verse just before I stood up, still trying to make sure I'm going the direction that God wants me to go, and God showed me this verse. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. You got one of these. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You say, well, why do you say all that? Well, how does that apply to the story? I want you to look at what happened with this woman. When she's here at the well, the first thing that she found was honesty. You see, Jesus didn't really look at her on the outside. He looked at her soul. You know, today we're here in the house of the Lord. I had a lady tell me one time, and she said, I just can't come back down to your church because sometimes people come in there, ladies come in there with pants on. And I stood there a minute, and I thought about it. And I thought about, you know, sometimes things change, right? I mean, Jesus, you know, he wore fisherman's sandals, and they didn't dress like we do. I got on a pair of blue jeans today. I'm comfortable. I hope y'all are okay with that. But, you know, I have actually come to church after work, coming straight from a job site with mud on my blue jeans, mud on my T-shirt, walk in, and the pastor hand me the Bible, and he says, you're preaching tonight. And I look at myself, I say, are you sure? Sometimes a problem that we've got is we spend so much time looking at the outside that we don't have the heart and the mind of Christ that we can't look at what's going on the inside. And when this woman was in the presence of Christ, he didn't look at her on the outside. He didn't talk about the outside, but he looked right straight down into her soul because God understands what's going on in your soul. You know, the truth is sometimes we can be so pretty, we're trying to cover up the pain. We're trying to cover up how bad it is. You see, Jesus knew everything about her, and he began to tell her the truth. We ask ourselves the question, do I want someone to tell me the truth? Do I want God to tell me the truth about my life? We can say yes. There's a scripture over there where David said, search me, O God, and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Have you ever prayed that as a prayer? I've tried that. I get real ugly when I do. Because I realize that without Jesus, I'm a mess. You see, in the 16th and the 17th verse, Jesus began to tell truth to this woman. And to start with here in the 16th verse, it says, Jesus said unto her, go and call thy husband and come thither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. Now, he didn't condemn her. He didn't start telling her the rules and the laws of the Old Testament and all the things that she's done wrong. He's just beginning to show her that he's God and he knows everything about her. He knows the pain. He knows the suffering. And anybody that's been through that has had some suffering. If you hadn't been through it, you ought to thank God that you didn't have to suffer at the level that some of these other people have, because I've seen the pain, but I've also seen what God can do. And what he's trying to do is he begins to tell her, I know everything about you, but you're going to have to acknowledge who I am in order to be able to get the help and the benefit that I can offer. So the first thing he did is he told her the truth about a relationship. But then he told her the truth about a religion. You ever see how sometimes it is you start talking about things? You ever seen somebody get real religious real fast? You know, I've had people tell me, and I've been in, you know, partially in sales and things like that in business for my whole life, and I've had people say, well, you just got to be a chameleon. You know, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. And I say, really? I've had some try to get real religious on me. They find out, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian, folks. I go tell people when I go see customers. I went and saw them a couple of weeks ago, and I told them, how much longer are you going to do this? Well, what are you going to do? I told a whole room full of rough guys. I said, well, I'm going into full-time ministry, praise God, and that's exactly what I want to do. Amen. They got religious. Just like this woman. She's down here at the well, and she's beginning to see who God is here a little bit, and says, the woman saith to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men are to worship. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now listen to how strong this 22nd verse is. This is Jesus red writing. I didn't write this. He said, ye worship, ye know not what. He said, you don't even know what you worship. But we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What's he saying? The God that they serve. Jehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah and Allah are not the same. He said, I'm the one. I'm the one that was told about. I'm the one that should come. And he got truth spoke to her and said, you don't know what you worship. You're hearing the truth that you need living water in order for you to be able to have life. And he told her the truth. Now, we know that it impacted her, if you know the rest of the story. But I want us to bring this home for just a minute and understand it ourselves. Now, folks, this is very important for us as Christians. It's very important for me as a pastor. It's important for you as a Sunday school teacher. It's important for you as a parent that if Jesus told the truth, we ought to tell the truth. You know, sometimes the reality of it is the truth is something that people don't want to hear. But I also believe that sometimes we need to also understand that the truth is the only thing that could possibly set them free. You know, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So none of us really are better than the other. We all need Jesus. But the truth is something that we must be willing to tell. And the scripture says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and verse number 3. And unfortunately, it's getting to the point that it's not common everywhere. But the scripture says to preach the word. It says to be instant. That means to be ready, in season, out of season. That means if it's in you, don't wait till you got an appointment. You need to be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within you. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That means to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth, then going to exhort with long-suffering and doctrine to tell them, here's where you're at, here's what the problem is, but here's the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and what did Paul say? He said, of whom I am chief. He said, for the time will come, and I believe here's where we're at today in America, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned to fables. You know, a lot of people like to come to church if they say, oh, you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. God understands. They hold a banner out in front of the church. We don't judge here. We don't preach against sin here. Well, what do you tell them if you don't tell them the truth? Do you know that you can love somebody to death? You can say, I love you so much that I'm not going to say anything to hurt your feelings. And you just let them live in their sin until they die in their sin. Some points to ponder. You cannot help someone by compromising with their sin. You know, sometimes we get to the new year and you hear a lot of this, New Year's resolutions, turning over a new leaf. I've tried some of that. You know, I'm getting to the point in my life that I think my metabolism is gone. My wife has tried to tell me, you got to quit eating Oreos and eat salads. It just don't work. I tell her salad is what food eats. You know, I've tried some things, but here's the point. You understand it. I can't do anything by myself. Even the things in life that I'm trying to accomplish, because of my faith, I've actually tried my best to even sometimes spiritualize things that aren't necessarily spiritual, because I understand the impact that God makes in my life. You got to tell the whole truth, not a half truth. And here's something that I think the world is looking for, church, and I want to tell you, Hiram First Baptist Church, it's a blessing for me to be able to serve here. You got to have something that's real enough that the world sees it as real. Real enough that the world wants it. So that when they come to the well, they see it as a place that they can find help. Because when somebody that's looking for some real help, they come into a dead place where there's no truth. They look around and they go out because they don't believe there's anything there that will impact their life. And here's something I want us to understand. We'll move on. The well waters of truth are first bitter, but when they produce healing, then they are appreciated. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute, and we'll move on. How many times have you spoke to somebody the words that you know you need to speak to them because you love them? And for a period of time, there's bitterness, there's harshness. They may even turn away from you and go away from you. But when they get right with God and they find the place that God wants them to be at, they'll come back to you and they'll thank you. There's a verse for that. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So she found honesty. I want to tell you what else she found. The well is a place of refreshment where she found help. She found honesty at the well, but she also found help at the well because she listened to the truth that was offered to her. It was pretty clear that she needed help with her relationships, pretty clear that she needed help with her religion, and it was actually very clear that she needed living water. You see, being religious is not enough. What you need is a personal relationship with God. A few minutes ago, I spoke about the Holy Spirit and how it works. I want you to understand something. You can't go to heaven on what mom and daddy got. You can't go to heaven because you just go to church. You can't go to heaven because you're a good person or you're better than somebody else. You know, go to heaven because you accept Christ as your Savior and you pray to Him as Father and you ask Him into your heart and your life. In Psalms 119, verse 103, says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, I've been saved, and I've said this before, since I was 12. There's been a few times in my life since I've been saved. I got saved so young that God would come and He would speak to me. You know, growing up, going through those tough years, those high school years, and trying to find the strength to stand and be obedient to God, and having God put a call on my life at a young age, and then going through relationships, you know, trying to pray that God would guide me so that I would be with the right person and I would live my life, and even getting into, you know, the work world and being around people that are not Christians. I can't tell you the times that God has spoke to me through a preacher or through His Word or just through His Holy Spirit, that when I heard it, it was bitter. But what God's doing is He's calling me back to Him and close to Him so that He can help me in my life, because God wants to help me. God wants to help you. I want you to consider who can get help. A person can get help when they want help. You know, I've tried to help a lot of people that didn't want help. It's kind of like this. I've said it before. If I could step on your foot and pour it down your throat, I'd be waiting at the door when y'all come out. It don't work that way. There was a time here at the church that got here on a Sunday morning. There was a guy sleeping out under the oak tree. He was curled up out there, and it was cold at night, and he was hungry, and he was in rough shape. He slept under the oak tree a few times. We've actually seen him out under the back porch. And, you know, I desired to help him. I wanted to help him. And we got this young man in here, and we gave him something to eat. We talked to him. We found out his name. We told him, you know, that we would help him. We found out what his story was. And, you know, we found out that he had some things that were really creating hindrances in his life to keep us from getting him the help we needed. So we said, all right, here's what we'll do. We'll put a plan together. We'll reach out. We'll get all your paperwork, your documentation. We'll get you to a place that you can get off of these drugs. We'll help you find a job. We'll contribute financially. And finally, he got to the point that he got angry with us, and he said, I don't want what y'all are trying to give me. I'm satisfied with the life that I'm living. I want to tell you something. You can't help somebody that does not want help. You cannot help someone unless they listen to the truth that's being offered. You know, sometimes what we want is we want God to solve all of our problems, but we're not willing to move in the direction that God has us to, because God's trying to tell us sometimes why we have the problems that we have. Kind of like insanity is continuing to do the same things that you're doing and expecting a different outcome. What does it take to give help? And I'll go through these quickly. Passion. You must have a burden. Church, do you know in the 24th chapter of Matthew, it says when it goes through the signs of the coming of Christ, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It ought to be our heart's desire that God would continue to give us a burden for the lost, continue to give us a burden for the people in our family that are not right with God, so that we can continue to come into the house of the Lord and pray and invite them to come. Not get so cold to it that we just say, we've done all we can do. You must have passion. You also must have pursuit. You got to invite them to come. You got to reach out to them. You got to pull. You got to ask them to come. Well, they won't come to church. Maybe they'll come next Sunday. Gold City's going to be singing. Maybe they'll come to the Wild Game Banquet. Maybe they'll come to the Fall Festival. But if we demonstrate something that's real in front of them, maybe it'll be something that'll make them want to come back. Because the next thing you got to have, and this is where it sometimes gets difficult, is you got to have patience. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord to move. And sometimes you got to wait on the person to move. There's a verse in the book of Psalms that says, all of my tears thou hast kept in thy bottle. Now, I don't know if there are any examples in the church this morning, but there probably are. Examples of people that grandmother and daddy and mama spent their entire life praying for. Even till mama and daddy sometimes get to the point that their life is over and they've gone to be with the Lord. But those prayers are still up there. And they're still working. And even after that person may have already died and gone to be with the Lord, God will speak to that heart. And it's like those tears that are kept in that bottle are poured out on that head. And that person finally comes to the point that they realize, you know, I'm good with that. I believe God can save people on their deathbed. I've seen it happen. I believe God can save people in prison. But I want to tell you something. If you're waiting, you're missing an opportunity. You're missing an opportunity to serve God and live your life for God. But here's something else you need to be aware of. You're not guaranteed that the Holy Spirit will knock on your heart's door at that time. Honesty, help. She also found healing. Well, how do you know that she found healing? Well, if you go and you read the story, the grace of God visited this woman. You go through the story and you begin to understand how that when she spoke with Christ, she immediately left and she ran back to the village and she said, come see a man that told me all things that I ever did. Is this not him? And because of her testimony, the Bible says that many of the Samaritans believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all things I ever did." They came out to where Jesus was, and they besought him, and they said, "Will you tarry with us?" And he abode there 2 days. And the scripture says in the 41st verse that many more believed because of his own word. Now, I want to give you a thought. Every person that's here today was lost before you're saved. Down there where I work, you know, it seems like every time we have a promotion and, you know, a person moves to another department, all of a sudden the manager says, "Oh, woe is me. We've lost the best worker we have. We've lost this. We've done that." And I just look at them and I say, "Didn't you train that one?" Now, why are you saying that? I want you to understand something, folks. We're saved by the grace of God. Before you got saved, you were lost. You didn't become the Apostle Paul overnight and be able to quote all these verses, or one of verses that these kids quote. It was a journey, and it's a process. But when you get saved, something happens in you. You are born again. The scripture says, if you go over and read Ephesians chapter 2, "You hath he quickened." That means made alive. You're not the same anymore. Because now God lives inside of you, and everything you do, you're doing it by his power. And not yours. Now, if you look at this story, all of a sudden this woman meets Jesus. She goes back to her village, and all of a sudden she just wants everybody to know what it's like to meet the living water. You see, when you get a hold of something that's real, it's going to spread. I like being around people that just know the way that I live. Yep, you ever been around those maybe at a Thanksgiving or a Christmas thing, and they look over at you and they're ready to eat? But they know that, you know, you want to, you know, you're a Christian. They say, "Oh, you want to pray?" Yeah. When they say that to you, don't give them "God is great." Pour it on them. Yeah. It's your opportunity. Yeah. It's your opportunity to say, "Let me tell you about the living water. I met Jesus. He changed my life." Right. You see, this woman, she found some help. She found some healing. If you look at her life, she's got all this stuff going on, but God loves her. God loves you. Now, I want to sit here and tell you, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. I'd be in trouble. You see, when you find healing and then the next thing you find is you find hope, you want others to understand that hope. There are times that I deal with people, whether it be at work and situations, and they get so intense and caught up in the things of the world, and sometimes I just look at them and say, "Really, is it that big of a deal? How much time we got left?" If the Bible says that man gets 70, he has really blessed Hiram Baptist Church with a lot of you. Because you get extra time. Extra time. Extra time to serve God. Extra time to be what God wants you to be. And you know what's really good about having extra time? It's like what's over there in the book of Peter where he said, "It is the long suffering of Christ that is salvation unto usward." You know what the extra time is? It's extra time to love your family. It's extra time to live for God in front of them. It's extra time to tell them about Jesus. And it's extra time to enjoy the blessings of God. You see, this woman met Jesus, and I really believe that she was never the same. And I believe that her testimony caused them to want to know who Jesus was, and it changed the whole place. 42nd verse, and I'll be done. I'll ask them to come with a song. And it says, "And said the woman unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, when you meet Christ, and you know, I love to meet people that are Christians from other places, other states. And I watch the Holy Spirit and how it works, and I listen to the doctrine, and it amazes me to this day. I shouldn't be amazed, but I still am, by how the Holy Spirit witnesses. See, the Bible says in one place, His Spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the sons of God. While he gets a song, I'm going to tell you this story, and I'll be done. A few years ago, my wife and I had to go to California for a business meeting. She got to go. It was a blessing to her. She was the highlight of my trip. Other than that, it was, you know. But we were there in California, and I remembered I was complaining. I said, we're out here in the land of fruits and nuts. I cannot wait to get back home. And I made the comment. I said, God hadn't even visited this place. And we'd been eating all this food that they fed us, and most of it I couldn't even pronounce. And we had an evening that we were going to be together and we could go somewhere. And I looked down the road, about a half a mile, there was a hamburger joint, like Red's Diner or something like that. And I said, we can go get a hamburger and French fries and a milkshake. We were familiar with that. And we walked in this place, and we sat down, and it was kind of like one of these places you see in Pigeon Forge. There were a couple of cars outside, you know, and we went in there, and I was in my grumpy anti-California mood. And we sat down at the booth, and before we were going to say the blessing, and I looked over there, and there was a lady over here had some little kids. And she started saying, all right, we're going to pray. And she prayed the sweetest prayer. And talked to those kids about the Lord. And God spoke to my heart and it convicted me. He said, I've got servants everywhere. And that Holy Spirit was real enough that I knew as it flowed around that room, it's the same God that we serve, folks. I want to tell you that God visited the Samaritans just like he visited the Jews. And I want to tell you something, you're Gentiles. Thank God that he visited us, amen? Amen. If you ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray. God loves you. Hiram First Baptist Church loves you. Nothing more we'd like to do than to see somebody be able to come to the well. Either meet Christ for yourself or allow God to help you with whatever you need. He already knows. But you got to bring it to him. Amen. Would you please come?
Leave it all behind.